You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom, first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today in the news is really capturing all the news is the Pope Francis' visit to the United States. He came from Cuba, was welcomed at Andrews Air Force Base by the president and his family, and now met with the president today at the White House, where he briefly spoke. And I'm sure it'll be on the news because it is the news story, not only today, but tomorrow when the Pope addresses a joint session of Congress. There's a problem. The Pope, to Catholics, is head of the Church, but in regarding religious doctrine of the Catholic Church, he's infallible. The problem is when he strays from that narrow area to science, economics, politics, I think he gets in serious trouble and loses his way, and his pronouncements puzzle, confuse, as well as, how should I say, disappoint Catholics that disagree with his views on the science, the economics, and the politics. You see, we have a Pope, Pope Francis, like President Obama, and the phrase is a watermelon Pope, a watermelon president. Now, what do I mean by that? And it's not a phrase that I've made up. It describes those that are green on the outside, in other words, they're environmentalist, but red on the inside. Now, what am I talking about? With the fall of the Soviet Union, and it's really its failure as an economic system, a command and control economic system, as well as the failure of socialism in other countries, many, and when I mean socialism, I mean both communism and socialism. Many on the left knew they had a problem. And the problem was that the Soviet Union, communist China, together with Nazi Germany, and remember, Nazi means nationalist socialism, we're all collectivist-type states. Oh, yes, they fought a war. The Nazis obviously attacked and invaded the Soviet Union. But both were ideologies where collectivism reigned, and the individual was not important. The state was the focus of a society. Under both the Nazis, as well as the communists and the Soviet Union in China, where did it lead? It led to the deaths of over 100 million people. And I'm not counting the war. I'm just talking the deaths in concentration camps, in gulags, in prisons, as well as death by starvation. In other words, the government was responsible for the mass murders of tens, hundreds of millions of people. Unprecedented, even prior situations with the Mongols, it's holding a record. In other words, socialism, or the road to serfdom, which is a better description, never ends well. It ends in the use of first coercion, then force, and it goes after its people. It goes after the people that actually put the regime in power. Socialism is not the answer. Yet we have a Pope that, by his own statements, is very much green on the outside and red on the inside, even though he's supposedly the head of the Catholic Church. He is attacking capitalism. I need to remind the Pope that before capitalism, that really started roughly about between 200 and 300 years ago. The general situation in the world was that of poverty. Very few people live past 30. Very few people. The overwhelming state of the world was one of subsistence at best. In other words, global poverty. It is only because of the free market capitalist system that we've had economic growth and a rise in the standard of living, especially of those in those countries that embraced it. We have never had what's called unfettered capitalism. That is a myth. There has always been a degree of government intervention into the economy, both in the United States and in Europe. There's never been so-called unfettered capitalism, which the Pope seems to trot out as the problem. It's never existed, and it certainly doesn't exist today. The Pope, in regards to the science, and I'm talking about climate change, and I understand there's a radical division between what I call the climate alarmists versus the climate skeptics on the issue. But the left has embraced the environmental movement to further its goals, and its goals are to cripple capitalism, or the goose that's laying the golden eggs. And the Pope today, in his speech at the White House, and I'm going to play it. I think I'll play it before I give you my comments. And I'm going to do a little editing in post-production because I know roughly where it starts and stops. So let me start the video and fast forward. Pope Francis.
Good morning. Mr. President, I'm deeply grateful for your welcome in the name of the all Americans. As the son of an immigrant family, I'm happy to be a guest in this country, which was largely built by such families. I look forward to these days of encounter and dialogue, in which I hope to listen to and share many of the hopes and dreams of the American people. During my visit, I will have the honor of addressing Congress, where I hope, as a brother of this country, to offer words of encouragement to those called to guide the nation's political future in fidelity to its founding principles. I will also travel to Philadelphia for the 8th World Meeting of Families to celebrate and support the institutions of marriage and the family at this a critical moment in the history of our civilization. Mr. President, together with their fellow citizens, American Catholics are committed to building a society which is truly tolerant and inclusive, to safeguarding the rights of individuals and communities, and to rejecting every form of injustice, discrimination. With countless other people of goodwill, they are likewise concerned that efforts to build a just and wisely ordered society respect their deepest concerns and the right to religious liberty. That That freedom reminds one of America's most precious possessions. And as my brothers, the United States bishops, have reminded us, all are called to be vigilant, precisely as God's citizens, to preserve and defend that freedom from everything that would threaten or compromise it. Mr. President, I find it encouraging that you are proposing an initiative for reducing air pollution. Accepting the urgency, it seems clear to me also that climate change is a problem we can no longer be left to a future generation. When it comes to the care of our common home, we are living at a critical moment of history. We still have time to make the change needed to bring about a sustainable and integral development, for we know that things can change. Such change demands on our part a serious and responsible recognition, not only of the kind of the world we may be leaving to our children, but also to the millions of people living under a system which has overlooked them. Our common home has been part of this group of the excluded, which cries out to heaven and which today powerfully strikes our homes, our cities, our societies. To use a telling phrase of the Reverend Martin Luther King, we can say that we have defaulted on a promissory note, and now is the time to honor it. We know by faith that the Creator does not abandon us. He never forsakes his loving plan or repents of having created us. Humanity has the ability to work together in building our common home. As Christians, inspired by this certainty, we wish to commit ourselves to the conscious and responsible care of our common home. Mr. President, the efforts which were recently made to mend broken relationships and to open new doors to cooperation within our human family represent positive steps along the path of reconciliation, justice, and freedom. I would like all men and women of God will in this great nation to support the efforts of the international community to protect the vulnerable in our world, and to stimulate integral and inclusive models of development. So, so that our brothers and sisters everywhere may know the blessings of peace and prosperity which God wills for all his children. Mr. President, once again, I thank you for your welcome. And I look forward to these days in your country. God bless America.
That was Pope Francis at the White House speaking to, I think, a group of estimated to be about 15,000 on the back lawn. And it will be on the news. You'll probably see some clips of it tonight. But I did put on my notes, and for those that are new to the show, the way you listen to the show is to go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. Very top, you'll have links to the last 60 to 80 shows, the most recent shows. And at the And in between, you'll have my notes, and these are rather, it's more, there are many, many articles, several articles, links to articles, as well as YouTube videos that are relevant to this. And some of you, I think, will be new to it. Others that know my point of view, I'm very much an advocate of limited government. I'm a classical liberal. The Pope said on the plane that he's not a liberal. I would agree, he's not a liberal. Liberal in the European sense is what I'm referring to, classical liberal. He is not a liberal. And the problem is that he advocates for socialism. He also advocates for more government intervention to stop climate change. There's a problem. The United States, as well as Europe and other countries, have very much mixed economies, where the government percentage of that economy has grown larger and larger and larger. And as a result, we have massive welfare redistribution, or wealth redistribution. And it has become clearly unsustainable. Not in the way that the Pope is mentioning, but the fact that we've overpromised. Politicians of every stripe in every nation where it's been tried have overpromised. And as a result, they can't deliver on the goods. You know, good intentions are not enough. And that needs to be emphasized. You have people of goodwill and good intentions that want to help the poor. A commendable goal. But what they recommend to do is let the government take primary responsibility for that. And that inevitably leads to government dependency, but it leads to massive redistribution of the wealth, the taxation and transfer payments. And in doing that, it ruins economic incentives, and people simply will not work hard, if at all. They become dependent on a government check. For example, today, entitlements and welfare in the United States is over half the United States budget. That does include Social Security and Medicare, and I know the people on Social Security that will say, wait a minute, I paid for it. Yes, you did pay into it, but when you were paying into it, you were paying for the benefits of your parents or grandparents, because Social Security is a pay-as-you-go system. That money was not invested. That money you sent in was spent on initially those that qualified. In the years, and we had decades where we had surplus, what did the government do? It spent it. It spent it, folks. It's not in any trust account. They spent it. And today we have a national debt that's over $18 trillion and unfunded liabilities for Social Security and Medicare of over $100 trillion. There's absolutely no way the federal government can provide those benefits. Inevitably, what's going to happen is rising taxation in this area, as well as cuts in benefits. That's what happens when you have massive government intervention. And now the Pope is saying one of our priorities should be addressing or adapting to climate change. That is what the Greens and the radical environmentalists want. They want to cripple capitalism. That means more taxes. The United States and the American people are already overtaxed, and they want more taxes. They want to make your electric bill significantly higher. They want to make the cost of gasoline significantly higher. And they block efforts of the private sector to develop the reserves of natural gas and oil that we have in the United States. As regards to the Pope saying and commending the president for his bill to reduce pollution, what is he talking about? He's talking about carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide is not pollution. It's first of all, it's a trace gas. In other words, it's insignificant. And yes, while the level of carbon dioxide has more than doubled, it's still a little over 400 parts per million, per million. It has been at levels over 1,000 in history, where we didn't have industrialization. This is junk science funded by government. It's government junk science. And its intention is really not to reduce pollution. Its intention by the watermelons, green on the outside, red on the inside, is to cripple, if not destroy, capitalism. In other words, to kill the goose that's laying the golden eggs. Socialism has been a failure, and the welfare states across Europe and in the United States are slowly but surely failing. That is not the way. That is not the answer. The answer is a growing economy where you have economic incentives that encourage individuals to risk their own time and capital to start businesses that employ people, create goods and services, create wealth. That's the answer. The answer is absolutely not a command and control socialism with massive government intervention in the economy. That way lies disaster. That way lies poverty, declining standards of living, and unfortunately leads to a totalitarian state and democide, in other words, death by government, where the government, in order to put down dissent, kills people. This Pope is leading his flock in the wrong direction. He is meddling in affairs that he knows little or nothing about. He is not an authority on science, economics, or the history of governments such as communism, socialism, fascism that led to the deaths of 100 million people. It's embarrassing. It is very embarrassing. Yes, we have a watermelon president and now a watermelon pope. And it's rather disappointing for Catholics as well as other Christians. The Pope has apparently drunk the Kool-Aid. I don't think he can be very articulate on the subject. He's apparently surrounded by advisors that believe in this nonsense. What he's calling for is a massive redistribution of the wealth from the developed economies to the less developed economies. The United States has been one of the most generous countries in providing foreign aid for development. But the fundamental problem is you need a free market economy in nations that have known poverty for most, if not all, of their history. The answer is not more government intervention, more socialism that fails repeatedly. The answer is more free trade. The answer is more investment by private enterprise in these countries. The answer is not more government programs. You know, the Pope, his family were immigrants to Argentina, and George Will has an excellent article on this, but most people aren't aware. Around 1900, Argentina was one of the more wealthier countries. As Will points out, they were about 14th. That would put it today in a European-type country. Today, it's 63rd in its ranking. Why? Because we had fascism, socialism in Argentina, and it literally destroyed the country. Yes, you still have the wealthy class in all these Latin American and South American states. What you don't have is, in most of them, is free enterprise. You have corrupt governments and a corrupt elites that control the governments. And unfortunately, the church for most of this history is support of the government. What the Pope is doing is a disservice to the truly poor that need to get out of poverty, as well as advocating the waste of more money on trying to deal with climate. The answer to climate change is adaptation. What does that mean? When it's cold, you put on a coat. When it's hot, you take off your coat and wear short sleeve shirts. If it's raining, you wear a raincoat or an umbrella or both. If it's cold outside, you turn on the heating. If it's hot outside, you turn on the air conditioning. That requires a free market capitalist economy not a command and control economy that we have today. For example, still in communist China, where many of the companies and industries are run by the army. Nor does it mean the return to the command and control failure of the Soviet Union. And the problem that many of the European nations face, and we face, is the government is overpromised. They've oversold Social Security and Medicare, and they know that the government simply cannot pay out those benefits. It's only a matter of time. First Medicare and then Social Security will be in trouble. And there are no easy answers. The answers are not more of the same, or kicking the can down the road, or wasting time and valuable money on climate change. What we need is true economic development in the private sector. Get the government out of the way. That is the problem. It is not rampant capitalism or unfettered capitalism. We've never had it, sir. The problem is governments and the people that run them, whether they're called presidents, prime ministers, dictators, generals, who advocate for more and more government and now have the Catholic Church backing them. This is a throwback to what the Catholic Church was to when we had kings. The church was allied with the monarchs. And during that long century and a half, did we have a rising standard of living? No. Did we have prosperity? No. What we had was, at best, economy where most of the people were serfs. In other words, slaves to the monarchs and the lords. And now he wants to make American citizens serfs? Well, apparently not. And that's the problem I had with his little speech. For the first 4 minutes, I totally agreed with what the Pope was saying. You see, the greatest threat to American liberty is the government and the people that run the government and the people that control those people. That's the greatest threat to liberty. And the answer is simply not more government, because down that road is serfdom and more government dependency. So I was not really encouraged at all about the Pope's little address. There was much that I think most Americans would agree to, especially roughly the first 4 minutes. It is when the Pope strayed into areas that he knows little or nothing about and simply is not an authority, namely on climate change and the call for nations to address that. That's a fool's errand. That would be a fundamental waste of resources. It's propaganda. It's trying to give an urgency to a problem that's simply not a problem. We should monitor the changes in climate. I have no problem with that. But the alarmist, much of what passes for science is based on computer models that have been wrong and wrong and wrong again. I've given a whole show on it. I'm not going to give another climate change show, because those that believe climate change is the problem, it's a religion to them. They're the Greens, the extreme environmentalists. And if we followed their advice, it would cripple capitalism. It would cripple the free market system that we have that provides us the electricity, the computers, the technology, the mass communications that we have today. In other words, the high standard of living and prosperity. I think the Pope is leading his flock astray. And that, as I said, good intentions are simply not enough. Results matter. Results count. And trying to align yourself with the political left in the United States and Europe is not going to work, because the defenders of liberty, the defenders of free enterprise, will resist this Pope and any president that advocates this nonsense. Now, I want to point out, I have included a number of videos. Several of them are by Milton Friedman, the late Milton Friedman, an economist, on the subject of socialism, collectivism, and the welfare state. I have also included Rush Limbaugh's reaction to the Pope, and this was about a year ago, as well as the late economist, and both Milton Friedman and Friedrich Hayek are both winners of the Nobel Prize in Economics. But I've included videos where they address socialism and the redistribution of wealth. You see, socialism, as well as the welfare state, ultimately involves coercion and force. And that's why it's the road to serfdom. It is the road that gave us National Socialism. It is the road that gave us communism in the Soviet Union and in China and in nations in Africa and in South America. They have all failed. They can't deliver the goods. They can't produce the goods, they can't deliver the goods, and they certainly can't deliver on the so-called goal of social justice. The unconstrained and impossible goal of social justice. And I have a video by Thomas Sowell, who also happens to have an article on Pope Francis, and I recommend that to you as well. So I have a lot of information, and I know some of you simply don't have the time, but for those that have an open mind and want more information, I've included this for your listening pleasure. It'll be both educational as well as a little bit entertaining, but it will, in more depth that I simply don't have the time for, address the problems of socialism and the welfare state, and the fact that it simply cannot, even though you have people that have good intentions, it simply cannot replace our free market capitalist system. It doesn't succeed. It fails. That's why the Soviet Union broke up, and that's why we're having communist China is having problems, because fundamentally they're about control, and they use force to keep power and shut down any dissent. Command and control economies simply have failed, and they lead to repression and ultimately mass killings. People simply know and resent what the government is doing. It's trying to control every facet of your life. That's why the American people have to be vigilant, because our liberties are under attack, and they're under attack by our own government, the President of the United States, and many in the leadership of both the Democratic and Republican parties that favor this massive government intervention into the economy and distributing the wealth and controlling industries such as healthcare and the healthcare insurance industry that hasn't turned out too well. And the majority of people simply don't want, because the government simply is not very good in picking winners or losers or running businesses. If anything, they're abject failures. And this is what the Pope thinks is going to solve poverty. I was talking to a student and I said, if I need a job, the last person I go to is someone that is poor. The last person. I go to a prosperous business, whether it's individually owned or a large corporation. Those are where the jobs are. That's where the wealth is being created. That's where the goods and services are being created. And that's where people are being employed. And that's where wealth is being created. It's not being created by the government, and it's not being created by the church. The church largely relies upon contributions from people that are successful and belong to the Catholic Church. Go to the Vatican and see the riches. They're mind-boggling. All of those riches were due largely, not completely, from the success of capitalism worldwide. It wasn't due to the failure or poverty caused by the socialist and the communist. I'm disappointed in this Pope. He's not very persuasive. What's ironic here, it is the left, especially the far left and the Greens, or the Watermelons, that are very much anti-religion, anti-people of faith. Yet they're applauding this Pope. Why? He shares some of their agenda. I've included, for those that have not read it lately, the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto written by Karl Marx. Read them. I'm not going to read them, but most, not all, but most of those planks have already been implemented in Western Europe and in the United States. It calls for more and more centralization of power in the hands of the government. It calls for doing away with private property and free enterprise. That's what they're about. Just read the Communist Manifesto. Plank 1, abolition of private property and the application of all rents of land to public purposes. In other words, confiscation, appropriation. A heavy progressive or graduated income tax. We have that, folks. And we have people in the Democratic Party as well as the Republican Party that want to make it more graduated. Abolition of all rights of inheritance. You see, what is this all about? It's the state confiscating wealth. And once you do that, you destroy the capitalist system. You destroy the system that is bringing higher and higher standards of living and raising people out of poverty into the middle class. That's what the Marxists today are about, or the Marxist-Leninist. You need to go no further than the Communist Manifesto and its 10 planks. Take another one, centralization of the means of communication and transportation in the hands of the state. They don't want dissenting opinions. They don't. They want to make sure that there's only one source of information. You see, they don't like competition. What they favor is monopoly and control. So read the Communist Manifesto. If you don't have time, at least review the planks, the 10 planks. Much of what the Pope is saying is right out of it. No wonder Rush Limbaugh was upset. I'm upset, disappointed. Now, the Pope was smart enough, at least for the first 4 minutes, to play to his audience. The number one value of the American people, even today, is liberty or freedom. We value our freedom and liberty. The problem is our freedoms and liberty are being encroached by a massive and growing government in terms of its size, scope, and influence, as well as control. That's what needs to be stopped in its tracks. If we were to fall for this climate change alarmism, what would be some of the impacts? One, everybody uses electricity, both to produce goods as well as in their home. Electrical prices would significantly increase, just like your health insurance premiums have increased and your deductibles have increased under Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act. That's what Obama wants to do. He wants to make the cost of electricity sky high. He also wants to make the cost of gasoline or diesel to power your vehicles sky high. That's why they're preventing the exploration and development of federal lands where we know there's a lot of natural gas and oil. That's why he's stopping the pipelines that would take Canadian oil and ship it down to refineries in Texas, for example. The climate change, remember, first was global warming. And then what happened? For the last 18 years, we haven't had global warming. You see, I can remember in the 70s, the panic or the crisis was global cooling. And now it's global warming, even when it's stopped. A pause. The language is, we've had a pause. I think we should focus some of our scientific research into following what's happening to climates. Because, ladies and gentlemen, historically, ice ages last about 100,000 years, and warm periods last about 10,000 years. If we go into another ice age, we're going to have to really be concerned about glaciers coming back and crushing areas that we now have cities. This is going to take decades, folks. I'm not saying climate is not something that requires research. What it does not require is massive interventions in the economy to try to control carbon dioxide emissions that are needed by plants, for example, to grow. Carbon dioxide is not a pollutant, even though the EPA is trying to make it a pollutant. They're trying to scare you. They notice they first used carbon dioxide, but that didn't work too well. Then they changed it to carbon, and now the Pope is using the more general phrase pollutant, air pollution. It's not air pollution. The air in the United States is one of the best in the world. If you want to see pollution, go to China. It's terrible. Why? They don't have the money to spend on scrubbers to take out particulate matter, for example, and mercury. You see, the United States, because it's one of the most prosperous nations in the world, has the money to invest in technology that makes the air cleaner. I'm not against clean air. I'm for clean air. What I'm against is trying to confuse people into thinking that carbon dioxide is a pollution when it is pollution when it manifestly is not. I just got the signal. I have to wrap it up. But if you want to spend 12 minutes, there's an excellent video on this subject. It's titled Climate Change in 12 Minutes. I recommend that. I also recommend going to my show on this. That'll probably pop up at the bottom once I publish it. So I thank you for listening. I'm going to have, maybe Friday, my reactions to the Pope's address to Congress. With that, Let me play America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom, first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.